It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Tired of the life I lead. Tired of the blues I breathe. Tired counting things I need. Gonna cut out white, and that's the truth. Get a brand new man while I got my youth. Tired of the clothes I wear. Tired of the patches there. I'm tired of the crows I scare. On a truck downtown and spin the move. Get short vamp shoes and a new man too. Washing and a tubbing, cleaning and a scrubbing. Sure leaves my glamour with a scar. All that mending and a mopping, washing and a shopping. Don't make me look like a glamorous star. Tired of the tears I've shed. Tired of living in the red. Tired of my same old bed. Gonna live the life of Cindy Lou and do the things that I know she'd do. Cause I'm tired, yes, I'm tired of you. Well, I guess by now you all have the general idea. I am tired. I am in the wrong place too. You know, what am I doing in this studio? Well, I just passed by and heard Tide playing. Do you know I'm in the wrong place? I thought this was my recording session. This is Louis' recording session. The music sounds so good, though. I think I'll stay here and at least sing four more bars and enjoy myself while I'm here. Come and think about it. You know something else? I don't know nobody here. They certainly look like nice fellows, though, and they keep playing this song. Maybe they're expecting me to come in later. It's a long wait, but I'm trying to wait for a few more bars, and then I'll sneak in on them. So I can live the life of Cindy Lou and do the things that I know she'd do. I'm tired, mighty tired of... You know, I don't know all these boys personally, honey, but I certainly would like to thank them very much for letting me drop in on this session. I've enjoyed myself.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here, and we're going to get right straight to the business. I've been keeping folks holding on for a while here, and I have Miss Natalie Iwasa on, and as you know, some of you have heard her before. She's shared her thoughts and comments on this show before, and she's a certified public accountant and certified fraud examiner. And we're going to be talking about the amendments, the charter amendments this morning, and we'll fill the hour. And feel free to call, and let's stick to the subject, because I would like to give this a thorough, scrutinized hour and 2 hours if we have to. But there are some very interesting things, developments with this and how they came about. And so it raises many, many. Bring Natalie on, and... We'll talk and fill in the space, the blanks, as we go along. But again, the coming elections, we have the charter amendments coming up. And many of them, for me personally, I won't tell you how to vote. But I will say that I have concerns as a taxpayer and as a citizen, the land management approach and a number of things, talking about taxes. And we're already strapped and giving... autonomous standings or status to groups that they want to form, and so it's worth looking at. And if you again, if you have any questions later on, 524-1080. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. I'm fine, thank you.
You got your radio right behind you or something. Is there, no?
Okay, is that better?
That's better. And I want to first thank you for joining me, and also I want to thank the Hawaii Advocates for Consumer Rights, Mr. Scott Foster and Marsha Joyner, and those good folks who are also looking at this. And you wrote up basically a guide, as you describe it, and we'll share that. And they can also go to the website for the Advocates for Consumer Rights.org. So anyway, good morning, and let's get to it, because I've read this booklet again and again and again, and I'm nervous.
Yeah, there's a lot of information there, isn't there?
Oh, yes, it is. So what are some of the basic concerns, and describe for us all, how do we get here? What is this charter commission? And how is it selected and whatever? If you could give us some background so the listeners can understand.
Okay, well, that's a very good question. The Charter Commission meets every 10 years, and it's made up of members that are selected or appointed, actually, by the mayor and the council. And then they meet for almost 2 years to put these ballot questions together. They actually have a few more meetings that they'll be going through after the election to wrap things up. But it's quite an involved process, and it starts out with them setting their rules on how they're going to accept the proposals, and then anything else like their ethics and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this year what they did was they allowed people to submit proposals online or via mail. And so they actually had 154 proposals that they started out with, which was just really overwhelming. And so I do appreciate all the work that they did putting, going through each one and then putting out just which is still cumbersome, the 20 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And each step along the way, the meetings were public. People had the opportunity to get involved. And I think, that part of it is where we need to strengthen, because I've noticed that during the process, changes were made when public, provided input on certain things that they didn't like. So that part of it is really important. And then we ended up with the 20 questions that we have before us. And now it's really important that the voters understand what is being voted on and what is behind each question.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there concern at yes mean no, no means yes, or if no vote means confirmation that we do want it? Can you explain that, or should we be concerned with that approach?
In this particular case, I don't think so. I know in other elections it's been really kind of weird that a blank vote would mean yes, or that, it was worded in such a way, like a double negative, that it was really hard to understand. I don't think that's the case this time. A blank is just a blank.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just not saying one way or the other. So it's not like the state in that respect. But it's really important, I think, for people to do some research so that they can make a decision, an informed decision, and vote either yes or no on each one.
Mm-hmm. And what I find for myself a bit worrisome is that they actually reviewed 154 mm-hmm. proposals. And I look at some of these and I think, how did they even decide on these? Many of them suggest nonsense or some kind of this suspect. So how bad were the others that they did, or what were some of them, just out of curiosity?
Okay, that's a good question, because I was actually disappointed that some of them didn't make it. For example, right off the bat, they eliminated anything that had to do with removing HART or the Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transit, or decreasing their authority. And I think that voters, given everything that's happened, voters should have had the opportunity to vote on that again. But those types of questions were removed, like in January, and deferred or held. Some of the other ones were combined, or ideas were taken from them to come up with the questions that we have in front of us. Other ones that they felt were would make too significant of a change, they decided not to include. And I'll give you an example. One that I had proposed was creating an office of an inspector general, which I feel is really, really important. And they gave it serious consideration, but they felt that that was such a significant change to our government that they didn't want to have it on the ballot this time. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of examples of things that they just kind of eliminated along the way.
Well, it seems that there are a number of these that are substantially deviating from what exists or being proposed. They seem to be just as strong as putting in or agreeing to put in an attorney general or inspector general or what have you. For example, let's go down this line, and thank you for this, I guess, what would we call it? It's a, I commonly call them cheat sheets. You spelled it out and given us some great insight, because reading the booklet, you don't get the full details or what have you. They give you the present situation and if proposal passes, right?
Right.
So Amendment 1, our charter amendment question, should the police commission have greater authority to suspend or dismiss the chief of police and have additional powers to investigate complaints concerning officer misconduct? And should the chief of police be required to submit a written explanation for his or her disagreement with the commission? Yes or no? And go ahead.
Right. So on this one, of course, the impetus for this was all the issues with the current chief and the cases that have come up with police misconduct, and then the police commission itself stating that they really couldn't do much. And so I feel that this is really an important amendment because it does clarify when the chief may be suspended or fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so it provides examples of when that can happen. But it also lowers the bar, because the current charter, I think, was narrowly interpreted. What it currently says is that the chief can be terminated for cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gave one example of continuous maladministration. And while I haven't spoken to anyone on the police commission, I believe, based on what I've read in the media, that they've really narrowed that interpretation of that particular term to mean that even given the current situation, they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this amendment is good in that respect, that it does provide very clear reasons for termination and suspension
mm-hmm.
of the chief.
You know, from my perspective, looking at one is basically, it crosses a line. It suggests, the way it's written and the logic that we're using why we should change it, it suggests that this current chief of police is the worst of the worst of the worst, and that if he is, how did it get that bad when he had a good rating? And so we're assuming that through innuendo and slander and remarks, just flippant remarks from the mayor and others, that there is this grave need to modify it and change it. So, and then you have a newly arrived appointed commissioner who then presents herself as being the hangman judge, you know, that's going to go and ferret this guy out. But really, do we really have, and what does it say about the mayor and anyone else in the city council to have let this chief of police, the current, if he's so bad, where were they? Why wait till the charter amendment? Was it just to make things good for them so that they can introduce this bill? I'm just asking.
Well, you know, I think that's really a valid question and very important to consider, because some of these it's clear that there's an agenda behind them, and you know, you can tell who introduced them and who's pushing them, and which charter commissioners are supporting them or not. So I think, you know, yes, we have a problem with the current commissioner. And the way I understand it's supposed to work is the mayor appoints the police commission, who, and they get vetted by the council or approved by the council.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to represent the public. You know, if it gets to be a question of then, how do those people who are just mostly regular people know when they should take care of the, or do, take an action with respect to the chief,
mm-hmm.
or what's happening? One of the things that I think is important in this particular amendment is it allows for subpoena rights, which the current commission wasn't able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, you raise a very valid point, I think, that if we left it the way it is, and we had more people like, what is her name, Lauren Sheehan?
Mm-hmm.
If we had more people like her, would we have the situation that we currently do?
If, in my opinion, you're asking, I think it would be worse, because in my experience and with law and all of those things, a person is not ever forced, compelled to testify or speak on a matter that is being investigated, and they are the subject of that investigation. She should be wise enough to know whatever is available, what tools or what administrative process is available to her, she has to work within that means. But I was taken aback the fact that a person would arrive screaming, "We gotta get him." It was almost the first verse to a lynching song. And that frightens me. And if I didn't know certain things that the mayor himself has had made promises, and he'd like to appoint certain individuals as the chief of police, he would like to ride that wave, you see, being politically correct. So all of those things causes concern. And so if we piggyback this and accept this amendment, and just me now, I'm just giving my insight. I mean, I could be completely off kilter. But I just don't believe that I want to trust this amendment to be revised or written or adopted, because this is the same mayor who has taken tons of money. We have the Ethics Commission. Nothing sits well with me what he has done. And so to suggest, and the appointees that he has, I know they've given lots of thought to it, but the basic facts are, the mayor had himself found himself on TV saying the chief should explain everything. Well, really, you know. So anyway, I don't want to belabor that.
Right. No, but the mayor, the chief of police is appointed by the police commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so my understanding is that the mayor really doesn't have a direct role to play with respect to the chief.
Yeah, but he appoints people.
Right, he appoints the police commission.
Right.
So, right. Yes, there's that route.
So you do my bidding, and that's not to say they're not big enough to avoid that. Many of them are retired judges and others. I'm not going to belittle or cast suspicion on them, but the reality is, I personally believe that based on how we started off with the mailbox, and here's a chief with a great ratings, and now all of a sudden he's the worst of the worst, and we need to revamp the city charter.
Mm-hmm.
That, anyway, item two, can you talk about that?
Question number two is regarding the Honolulu Ethics Commission. And as you just stated, there were some concerns about that, and it's really disappointing to me personally that that is the only question we have on there related to the Honolulu Ethics Commission, because there were several proposals that would help strengthen the Ethics Commission. But this particular question would essentially increase the salary for the staff attorney, which I think is really important, because if an attorney is going to, you know, they decide they want to work in public service, and so they're going to go work for the city, and they look around, you know, they might choose the prosecuting office, they might choose corporation counsel, they could look at ethics commission, and then they look at the salaries, and the ethics commission is the lowest of all of them. It makes it hard to then hire good people or to retain them once they have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this one is a very easy yes.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, and the question is, should the Ethics Commission set salaries of the Ethics Commission's executive director and staff attorneys within specified limits, right? And I agree with you. Why would you pay them less when they're tasked with, it's an integral part of the city's functions, right?
Right.
And by the way, changing the subject for a bit, thank you for all that you've done with this Ethics Commission. If anybody out there want to discuss the Ethics Commission, talk to Natalie Iwasa. I mean, you have to. She's been there at most of all meetings, or many of them, correct?
A number of them, yes.
And you followed it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But,
you're welcome.
But, yeah, it caught my eye, too, that only one, you know, with all the issues that we had with the executive director, with the things that were going wrong with the Ethics Commission and all of that, and restricting them, put on time, we only had one amendment.
Right.
And it was simply to deal with the pay. What about the function and the effectiveness, efficiency issues and the deficiencies that exist that should be addressed through a charter? Or through an amendment? Why did they fail?
Yeah, those, you know, what happened was the commission looked at all of the proposals and then accepted testimony on each one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they did was they, because there were so many, they grouped them by topic. So, mm-hmm. for example, land use. Or good governance, and so the ethics-related ones went under good governance, and they formed a permitted interaction group, and then that group would have their own meetings and go through the proposals that related to that particular topic. Those meetings are not public, and so the actual discussion about those proposals, you know, I don't know, and that's not public information. What they do then is they come out with a report, and then they discuss that at the full commission level. So some of these, I can't, you know, I don't know the underworkings of why they were disallowed.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything that would have elevated the concerns of transparency in our government and the function and accountability, they should have been really emboldened and you know, incorporated. But it seems that they took it for granted, this very issue. And the Attorney General, for example, question number three, should the Department of Prosecuting Attorney control its budget after it's approved, it is approved by the City Council? Now, one thing that caught my eye real quickly was that I know with certainty that the Ethics Commission, for example, they're unrelated but similar, same authority, is that the mayor grants money to the Ethics Commission to fund the investigator, right?
Right.
So if the mayor is a target of the investigation, or it will not reflect well on the mayor, so the mayor is out at the bank working, drawing his $200,000 or whatever the amount it is, he's not going to rush to get money to allocate for the investigators to investigate matters that reflect bad on him. So I don't know about the city, the prosecuting attorney. I would, maybe next week, hopefully, I was going to ask them, hey, what do you think? What are some of these agency heads think about this?
Okay, so this particular question, you probably noticed that I suggested that the Ethics Commission should also have some independence in this respect. And we need to understand that the process of the budgeting. So first of all, the city, at this time of year, they're doing it right now for next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
Each department goes through and comes up with their budget, including the prosecuting office and the ethics commission. And then the managing director will review them, with, you know, each department's budgets and say, yes, you know, that's good, or no, cut this down. Then in March 1st, the mayor's budget goes to the council. Council, of course, has their 3 months of meetings, and they make changes, and then they approve the budget in June, and the mayor either signs or vetoes or just lets it go into law without his signature.
Mm-hmm.
There's another step then. Once that's done, you know, the departments go through the year and spend their money, except that toward the springtime or earlier, if there's a problem with projected money not coming in as projected, the mayor has been asking every department to cut back. And so what happens is, you know, the prosecuting office, the ethics commission think that they have, you know, X dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mayor all of a sudden says, no, you know what, we're going to cut that 10% or whatever percent. And so you only have this much. And so at the last few, you know, months, they're scrambling then to try to figure out how they're going to do everything that they had planned with less money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this particular question will change. It will disallow the mayor from coming in at the end of the year or any time after the budget has been approved by council. It'll disallow him from changing that budget for that particular office.
Any of these affected agencies or departments, have we heard from their actual directors or the people that are in power that are managing these agencies or departments? Do we know where they stand? Are they supporting the mayor's or these changes as they are proposed?
You know, my understanding is that the mayor, when there are questions like this, the mayor will assign people to speak on a particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
So with respect to this question, the prosecuting attorney was down there testifying in front of the Charter Commission. But in public anyway, no other directors were saying, hey, I want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, the mayor has, I think, final say on things like that.
Right. Charter Amendment 4, question, should a unified multimodal transportation system be created by, just one, forming a rate commission to annually review and recommend adjustments to bus and paratransit fares, rail fares, and parking fees? I'll let you take that one, please. I've spoken to a number of people and they go, no. I don't know what you actually said. No, right?
Yeah.
You said, but go ahead if you could go in greater details, because many people are worried about handy vans and commingling the monies and HART's problems, and then they believe that HART, the monies will be easily funneled or taken by HART or what have you.
Yeah, you know, this particular question I felt was important for the commission to split, because it does two things. Basically two things. It separates the operations and maintenance of the rail from HART and puts it under DTS. But it also provides a little more clearer authority for HART in their oversight of the CEO and the HART staff. And, you know, given all of the problems with the HART and the board and all that stuff, I felt that increasing the authority with the board was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I felt, should be passed. But they combined it with this other huge change, and I don't think we've had enough discussion on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we have. It makes sense to have operations and maintenance for efficiency purposes of creating a system for scheduling, for setting rates, and other things. To have that in one body so that you can just say, wait, no, the bus is coming here at 9 o'clock and the train is leaving at 9:05, or whatever the case is. But there are so many unanswered questions with this, because what they did was they set it up to transfer on, July 1st next year. And we have, everything would go that's related to operations maintenance, contractors, staff, so the big one is Ansaldo. They have a 5-year agreement in their contract to provide for operations and maintenance of rail. That whole thing would come right under DTS.
Mm-hmm.
And DTS has to accept all of those liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, what is to prevent HART now and its contractors from trying to put as many rail costs into the O&M as they can, so they shift it from HART to DTS?
And then, just for the listeners, Department of Transportation Services.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yeah, no, no problem. I'm not correcting you, but they'll probably call up. What is DTS? So
yeah. So, this is really quite complex, because the way the charter amendment is worded, it would be those who are primarily associated with operations and maintenance. And what I noticed is that they are already looking at moving costs from building to O&M, and this is one of their cost containment strategies. So if we shift those costs, HART, if this passes, then HART looks good when they can say, oh, you know what, we found some efficiencies, and so we are reducing the cost to build, and it's X dollars, without realizing that they were just transferred. So, so there's no, there was no discussion of how many people this involves, who is there to oversee the transfer, to make sure that the contracts, the people being transferred, are actually primarily in operations and maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
All those questions haven't been answered. And then you brought up the question of the van and the bus, and how do we make sure that the bus and handy van don't get their funding used for rail, or that the allocations of costs are appropriate.
One thing that struck me as quite curious I became was that, knowing how we play so loose with the federal monies, by commingling, or what measures will be in place to make sure that we don't commingle and then jeopardize, because we have a tendency of abusing our use of federal monies, or failure to use it. Is there a concern with that?
I think that's a valid concern, certainly, especially just what we hear from different levels of government and what the city has done itself with other types of federal funding. And so some of that, just, I think we need to be vigilant and watching out on what is happening with the budget. And then when somebody has questions, whether something was improper, that we actually take a look at it. That aspect of it, I think, needs to be discussed more.
Mm-hmm.
As well. How, and people need to understand then what is already in place to make sure that the 5307 funds actually do what they're supposed to do and not get used for something else.
Mm. You're listening to The Carol Cox Show. My guest is Ms. Natalie Iwasa. We're discussing the proposed 2016 charter amendments for the city and county of Honolulu. Natalie, would you like to take a question? There's been 4 lines here lit up, and we'll get, if you're interested, would you like to?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and for both of you. If you could have had Euclid and Pythagoras on the program, you picked Natalie Iwasa. She supersedes both of those. On number four, the first is the unified modal system. The system is going to be created, and then the mayor, the council, and one other person will be the moderators of that. In terms of the second part, the cost is the operation and maintenance will go from HART, as she has said, to the Department of Transportation, and that is us. Mm-hmm. We will accrue all the cost, and it will go over to the taxpayers.
And we already suspect that monies from the handy vans and the bus has been diverted or in
correct.
To the rail.
Money allocated $210 million from the federal government, a grant to the handy van, and therefore they took the $210 million, the federal money, and they used it, transferred in the books, over to the rail. So therefore, the money on the books for the van went over to the rail, and they will say, no, we didn't take any money. No. Okay. However, the money cannot be used for the van if it's not on the van books.
Right.
It's on the rail books.
Natalie, what, you have any comment on that one?
Well, yeah, so that whole thing came up because the FTA was mandating that the city show that they have enough money to go ahead with this project. And so in order to fill that PUCA, they put in the 5307 funds, the $210 million. And all along the way, they were saying, well, we have no intention of spending these monies. It's just there to fill a spot to show that we have the capacity. And, you know, it's really good that the people spoke out and said, don't touch that money. The people who ride the handy van, the people who are on the bus, came out and said, don't touch that money. And so what happened then as a result was the council came through with a measure, I forget if it was a bill or a resolution, that said you're not allowed to use this money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been effectively pulled from HART's budget.
Okay.
Bless you, Natalie Owosa. Thank you so very, very much for what I wish I knew my numbers. You are the person who gives me insight into this. Thank you very much, Nat, and thank you, Mr. Cox.
Thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Caller, thank you for waiting. You have a comment or question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes, I do. It is illegal to use federal monies that are earmarked for, in this case, for the transit. And how they got away, how they get away with that is beyond me, because they know it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's some kind of sleight of hand. But for those of us that depend on the handy van, Councilwoman Ann Kobayashi has a Bill 83, and I don't know where it's floating around, but it is clear that this is what she is saying to the rest of them is you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the bill sort of went out into fairyland somewhere, and it's just kind of... So maybe Natalie knows more about Bill 83.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a meeting, what, Wednesday or something, and Natalie was one of the featured speakers with former Governor Waiahe.
And by public demand, we have been asked to repeat it in any number of places. So as we speak, we are trying to nail down several other locations.
And where's your next one scheduled, and where, when?
Well, we're trying to get another one in the evening at the Waikiki Community Center. Because, you know, we're down to 17 days now. We also asked the Democratic Party if we could use their headquarters, which, you know, is free to the public. And since this is a nonpartisan issue, they said yes, and that would be on the 31st, Monday 31st at 5:30 p.m. And so we're looking at as many sites as we can, because this is so important. As I've said before, candidates, there's an election every 2 years.
Right.
But this is 10 years of your life. 10 years of your daily life. We do not need to give the mayor all this power. We do not need to give him 12 years. You know, so we need, absolutely need all of the public, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, every one of them to vote on these 20 amendments.
Yeah. So I want to talk, Natalie, real quick. Charter Amendment 5, should the Affordable Housing Fund be used to develop rental housing for persons earning 60% or less of the median household income, provided that the housing remains affordable for at least 60 years?
Yeah, you know, our housing is such a big concern, and I appreciate the fact that they looked at this issue, but why shouldn't it continue into perpetuity? and if we're looking at trying to motivate developers, if we go down to 60 years, does that really make a difference for them? I don't know. I have concerns about that. The other thing that this amendment does is it takes away the ability to use the funds for repairs and maintenance. And so, you know, generally, any time you make the usage, you know, you restrict it further, it's not really good fiscal policy, because then if you don't meet the requirements, is it just going to sit there, and how long is it going to sit there?
Yeah.
And then what happens to the repairs and maintenance for these units, these housing units that come under this particular fund? You know, they have to go somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, does it come out of the general fund? Do other programs get cut? Do the people who are residing in these housing units have to come up with more themselves? I'm suggesting no on this particular one, because I think there are other concerns with respect to that.
Mm-hmm. And that's Charter Amendment 5. I tend to agree with you on that. And that affordable for at least 60 years. Are we able to look in a glass ball and say, well, 60 years is the optimum time. The world will be better off and economically, and there won't be people needing affordable housing. So that's 60 years, and let's put the use by 60 years. That is so insulting, and to see how we've not been able to manage affordable housing anyway,
right,
with what is in place and the unwillingness to do what's right. And then you build in 60 years. Who's counting? And how fast does the city move, or the state move? It's city functions, but how fast does the city move on any of these projects? I recall Pam Whitty Oakland, who's appointed by the mayor for the Charter Commission. I recall her coming on board and saying that, well, we're not going to issue any monies to the nonprofits. We're going to basically keep it ourselves. This is what I recall. I may not have quoted exactly, but that causes concern. And she was there, and she's now on the commission. I had hoped if that was Marcia Joyner, we're going to be talking about it also in the next hour. But how about 6? Questions: should departments responsible for the city's infrastructure needs be required to prepare long-term plans? Do we need an amendment to... I'm being facetious, but...
Yeah. Do we need an amendment to try, make sure we have proper plans?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't think so, would you?
You see, they say, well, why are you always so negative, Carol Cox? Because this is just the dumbest approach, the things that people say. I mean, should the departments responsible for the city's infrastructure needs be required to prepare a long-term plan?
That's a very good question. And one of the things was that this particular proposal required the Board of Water Supply to have a water plan. And when they came in to testify, they said, we're working on it, and here's our draft.
Yeah, and by the way, here's 134 of them hit the trash can, but did they have a better... I mean, this one here just suggests that something's Maybe they get medical marijuana was coming through the vents or something.
Yes.
I saw that and thought, wow.
Well, yeah. So, you know, obviously we need good planning and it should consider the long term. But the other thing I think is really important is this requires five-year reviews. And those reviews cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And we're behind on our current requirements. You know, the Oahu General Plan from 2002 has been kind of sitting stale now for almost 3 years. And the East Honolulu Sustainable Communities Plan has been under review now for since 2004, so what, 12 years?
Wow.
So, you know, trying to require not only to put this in place, but then require five-year reviews, I think is just unrealistic and costly, even if, you know, if it could be done in that time frame.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hi there. This is Marcia again.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, that about the plans,
mm-hmm.
the city council approved Ho'opili based on a 25-year plan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was no traffic. There were no people out there then. So it made sense.
Okay. Well, here's one that I'm – and, Natalie, you said you were going to have to leave by 10:15, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Charter Amendment 7, question, should the city use its power to serve the people in a sustainable and transparent manner and to promote stewardship of natural resources for present and future generations? And should the city create an Office of Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency? And
well,
hold on, Marcia. And Natalie, you suggested no on that. Can you give us some in-depth insight?
Right. So here we are growing government again. And certainly there are valid concerns out there about climate change. But why not use the resources we already have? UH puts out really wonderful reports on things that are happening with respect to our ocean sea level rise, our FEMA revised our flood inundation zones
mm-hmm.
a few years ago. You know, we should take advantage of that information and rather than trying to create more bureaucracy.
Right. It caught my attention. Again, sounds good, but we already have the Environmental Services Department. We have city environmental services and all of the design and construction. So what is it? What deficits do they have or what education? They can't hire someone that do these things and make it a priority?
Right.
Marcia, you have a comment?
Again, I'm back to creating, yes, I do have a comment on it. Why do we need more bureaucracies?
Yeah, and
most of the things here just give the mayor more power.
And the mayor could be anybody that gets in that position, and we have no say. And then the pigs, not calling anyone a pig, it's the group, the private interaction groups. That no transparency, and they don't have to report right away, and minutes of meetings and what have you. If I'm not mistaken, some areas suggest that they won't even have a requirement of.
Well, Natalie can answer this one better, because she was telling us that even the minutes for the Charter Commission were late, so some of them still haven't been posted.
Mm-hmm.
So. Natalie, did I get that one right?
Well, yeah, and this is really a frustrating point of frustration for me personally. The Charter Commission has a staff behind it that helps put together all of the documents that the commission reviews, all of the research they put together, the testimonies, all that kind of stuff. I believe they had three people, and I asked City Council to put in one more person because they were not putting their minutes up timely. And, you know, we have a lot of this goes into politics. We have a council then who thinks that having a housing coordinator on their staff is more important than having one more staff person on the Charter Commission. And so, yeah, they just didn't have enough time to put them up in a timely manner. All of the minutes are posted now, however. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in draft form. Some of them have been approved. And they also have all of the meetings that where they started recording, all those are posted online mm-hmm. as well. So that was from the end of last year.
One more before this hour passes. Charter Amendment 8, question, should a new Department of Land Management responsible for the protection, development, and management of the city lands be established? And you said no, Natalie, and can you give us some insight on that? And we take about 2 minutes, and then we'll go into the next hour, take a break for the news.
Certainly. So on this particular one, I think it's important to know that really the focus of the commission, if you look back at their minutes, was the transit-oriented development, special districts. That was why they wanted to have this question on the ballot. And we already have a division of TOD, Transit-Oriented Development, under the Department of Planning and Permitting. So this question is not needed at all. But I think they wanted to create more of an emphasis and have it standing alone. But, you know, that increased costs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said no.
Caller, thank you for calling. Real quick, your comment or question.
Thank you for taking the call. Very quickly, the Charter Commission has an office on the fifth floor, and there are only three people up there, and they are like holy spirits and saints, but there's only three people. They need another person. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, well, Natalie, you want to go to 9, and that one is land management responsible, on 8, you spoke to that and you said no. But Charter Amendment 9, should the Honolulu Zoo Fund be established and funded by a minimum of one-half of 1% of estimated annual real property taxes to pay the Honolulu Zoo expenses to assist the Honolulu Zoo in regaining its accreditation by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums?
Okay, so generally speaking, I think special funds are not good fiscal policy, and the reason is that they erode our general base of funding for our city operations. And so, you know, I've talked to a couple people since I put this out, and they're concerned that without it, the accreditation is not going to happen. But, you know, there were several issues with respect to the accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because we throw money at it doesn't mean that accreditation is going to happen. And, you know, on this particular one, setting aside a mandatory 0.5%, the way it's worded is that if real property taxes go up on average, let's say 15%, which is not out of the ordinary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the zoo only needs a 10% increase or 5% that year. Well, that extra funding then stays in that zoo fund. It cannot be used for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so why would we want to set things up that way? What happens in, you know, if we're everything else is the funding for general funds is decreasing mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, you know, the zoo gets to keep their 10 or 15%, but everything else has to be cut back.
And as you pointed out, it's more than just these minor problems. Some of the basic problems that is problematic at the zoo is the picking people that we had a number of revolving chairs or directors of the zoo.
Yes.
And the accreditation isn't just based on a lack of money. We had, I think, one of the last or the most recent one had no zoo experience. So the accreditation speaks to many of things and the deficits in the other areas. So I agree with you. I would say no to this particular one, to 9. And we'll be right back. You can hold on and we'll take a news break. And this is the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Natalie Iwasi, and we're discussing the 2016 Charter Amendments for Honolulu. Be right back.
Up in the morning, out on the job, I work like the devil for my pay. I know that a lucky old song has nothing to do with rule around heaven all day. I fuss with my woman, and I toil with my kids. I sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray. I know that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Dear Lord above, don't you see I'm pining? I got tears all in my eyes. Why don't you send down that cloud with the silver lining? Lift me up to paradise.
Lift me up to paradise.
Show me that river. Why don't you take me across and wash all my troubles away? Lucky old son, he's got nothing to do but just roll around heaven all day.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again and welcome to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. My guest is Ms. Natalie Iwasa. She is also the neighborhood board chairman at Hawaii Kai Side. And I have Marcia join on. And we're talking about the 2016 proposed amendment, charter amendments that you will get a chance to vote on. And we're just going through the city sit down a booklet. And unfortunately, many of them, people are already voting. And I don't know the timing of the ship out. But welcome back, Natalie and the others.
I'm still here.
Okay, Natalie, you there?
Yes, thank you.
All righty. Go ahead, and we were talking.
Carol.
Yeah, just hold on, yeah. Marcia. Hold on. I can hear you.
Hello.
Yeah. What?
I just wanted to say something about Natalie so that your audience understands. Natalie is a forensic CPA, and as such, she sees things that most of us don't see, and she sees the unintended consequences of these, which makes her a really special person in talking about the amendments, because she does the unintended consequences. Mm-hmm.
And she's doing
so
this for free.
Most of us just read words, but she actually sees it. So.
Right. Okay. Well, hold on one second here. There's a caller. Go ahead. Thank you for waiting. You have a comment or question real quick?
Mainly, I just wondered if you could repeat the first, how to vote the first six. I finally got a piece of paper and a pen, and I want to vote. I trust you explicitly. I'm so grateful for your program. So just the first six, I've got my pen and paper now.
Is this Donna Ikeda? Sounds familiar.
But thank you. Can you do the first six?
We will.
Program.
We'll do them for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Natalie?
You want me to go over the first for six?
Well, let's continue on with the 10, and that way, because I don't want to take your valuable time. Then
okay.
we'll go back over if you get the time, and, or we will do that for her.
Okay, so question 10 actually, I feel, restores the balance of power between the mayor and the city council. What this does is it says that it's mainly related to special funds.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it was about a decade ago is that the mayor would be allowed to create special funds, but it had to be approved by city council. And then the city council changed that and reversed it so that the city council could create special funds and the mayor could make suggestions if he wanted to. And, you know, I actually feel that the executive branch should be the one to create the special funds if needed, because they are the ones who are working with the accounting system. They know what's involved. They know intimately whether a special fund is something that is needed and would be beneficial, although I don't support them in general.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular amendment then makes it so that either the legislative branch or the executive branch can create a special fund. They all still have to go through city council for approval,
mm-hmm.
but either branch can create one.
And that's Charter 10.
Yes.
And so I'm shaking at some of these amendments. It's, how did they get they even considered?
Yeah, you know, actually I should mention this, that one of the things that Governor Wahee, who's a commissioner, mentioned last week is that the commission actually considered just taking the entire charter and rewriting it, because some of this stuff is just so detailed, and if you look at other charters and even our constitution, it's very general. It doesn't have a lot of this specific stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they felt that that would just be too much of a project, but that's, I think, something that we really need to consider.
Yeah, and I agree. Structurally, it begs a lot of things. How can we trust what already exists, and then we're going to build on something that's fallible, that's weak in structure and in intent and in purpose and effectiveness? And then it's left up to the city to play right and play fair.
Right.
So it's kind of scary. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead with your comment or question if you have.
Okay, one of the things that really bothers me, Carol, about this is that there are 20 amendments, and no one has really had the time to go through mm-hmm. all of these amendments. And what do you say to someone who's just going into the voter booth, has no idea about these amendments? I mean, maybe it has a few preferred ones that they know how to vote, but they're not quite sure about the others. What do you do? Do you vote no automatically?
Well,
the question?
Personally, and thanks for asking.
What would you suggest, Natalie?
Natalie, go ahead.
Well, some people are just advocating to no on all of them. And, you know, this is not like the state where some of the questions, if you vote no, it means yes, or you blank, you vote yes, or you vote no. So personally, I feel if you don't know enough about it, you should just leave it blank. Because you could be,
okay.
Yeah, because you could be changing something or not allowing a change that is worthy,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And because it is Halloween, they scare me anyway.
Yeah.
Personally, I say I won't tell you what to vote for, but I'm inclined to say no to all of them. Because
yeah,
given
what I've heard in the first hour, it took us an hour to go through nine.
Yeah, but
and that's briefly going to.
And I
so
just
far I'm saying hot line no.
Yeah.
You know?
I just don't trust the
but for someone who hasn't even heard this broadcast has no idea.
Right.
I'm inclined to say no to all of them, or just leave it blank if you're not sure.
I just think we would be empowering and emboldening a mayor who we can't trust, and a bunch of people that clearly, they're not effective and efficient in their work anyway. And now we're going to equip them with and arm them with more means of deceiving, delaying, distracting, and diverting money, and with little or no transparency. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, that's my concern, too.
Okay, well, thank you.
Carla, thank you.
Yes, you can, but hold on. Okay, Carla, thank you. Okay, Marcia,
exactly,
go ahead.
What the caller just said. Now, this gets tricky, but remember that you must vote because, don't leave it blank. If you've got any questions, vote no. But because each question is weighed by itself, so each question needs 50% plus one. So that means if four of the mayor's cronies vote and you don't, they win. So it is 50% plus one on each question.
Okay.
Not a whole bunch, but on each question.
And it's necessary
that you vote on each question.
And Natalie, you have any comment on that?
You know, personally, I just feel like if I don't know enough about a situation, then I shouldn't be voting on it. But you know, I understand Marcia's point, and it's a valid point as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, hi. Hey, thank you for your programming.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Natalie, thank you for your time. As a listener and a voter, I'm 74, and I'm very appreciative, like all the other callers, that you could spend the time with us. And Carol, you know, I always supported your endeavors. But, you know, I was listening to Marcia Joyner. I agree with her, you know. You know why? I don't trust government. I mean, the way they became all crooked, right? You know, if you're going to vote, I mean, we're the voters. If I'm going to vote for the amendment and I don't even understand it, I am going to vote no. Because if you leave it blank, I don't trust anybody. They can put the yes on the check. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's kind of not nice way of thinking, but like I said, I don't trust government or whoever taking care of the all that amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, as a voter and someone that really don't care about the amendment, but I'm trying to learn, you know, but I like radio programs because at least I can understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't understand it, I'm not going to leave it blank. Never leave things blank. I would check a no. So they know that I'm voting no as a voter.
Okay,
so
well.
Anyway, that's my advice too, as just a regular, you know, layman.
All righty. Well, thank you. And we're going to.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. I like seeing you on television.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Aloha. It Halloween especially, people comment they love to see me on. But anyway, we did 10. Charter Amendment 11 should approval process and an advisory commission for clean water, natural lands, fund projects be established in the charter. I kind of stumbled through that, but what about that, Natalie?
Yeah, so this one actually changes the process. Because we already have a fund set up, we already have a Clean Water Natural Lands Advisory Commission. And there have been some problems with, again, the current administration and the interpretation of what is supposed to be done, you know, what does the purchase of land mean. And so the one of the nonprofits that has been very active with this fund had proposed an amendment. This question, though, is a compromise. It's not what the original proposal was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, based on my reading of it, it's switching the source of the problems, or it's trading one type of problem for another type of problem. Because if this amendment passes, what would happen is all of the proposals would go to the Department of Budget and Fiscal Services first. And then they would give the list of qualified projects to the commission. And so what is not addressed in here is how that the Department of Budget and Fiscal Services would then determine, you know, the qualified projects. And I feel that that part of it is open to abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there are some people I work with who are disappointed that I'm not supporting this particular one, but I just feel that we need to be careful about how we change these things.
And I agree with you on that. You suggesting, or you recommend a no vote.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's on 11. 12, this proposed amendment, should all boards and commissions except for Board of Water Supply, the Board of Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transit, HART, and any board or commission mandated by state or federal law be reviewed periodically to determine whether they should be retained, amended, or repealed.
You know.
I read that and I thought, wait, let me get something back and throw at my TV.
Yeah, well, you know, if there's any board that should be reviewed periodically, it's the HART board,
mm-hmm.
and it's specifically exempted from this question. I feel that this, if you followed what was happening in the Charter Commission meetings, there was a lot of concerns raised and actually proposals about the Neighborhood Commission system, the Neighborhood Commission office and the Neighborhood Board system. And I think that this is kind of a backdoor way to try to eliminate the neighborhood board system.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would happen then is, if this passed, then the city council would, you know, be in charge of implementing this process and the time frame of review. The reviews can already take place. There's already a mechanism in place to have reviews done. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this charter amendment question should just be no.
Okay, and that's Amendment 12. And 13 now, and we'll take a question here in a second. Should the grants and aid fund be sole source with certain designated exceptions for city-funded grants for to federal income tax-exempt nonprofit organizations that provide services to economically and socially disadvantaged population or that provide services for the public benefit in the area of arts, culture, economic development, and the environment? How about that one on number 13?
Okay, well, number 13, first of all, I think this is a special fund that should be removed, but that's not the question at hand. The reason this came about is because we have this fund, and it has a very good process that each potential grantee goes through. The problem is that the city council has been inserting their own nonprofit organizations and projects in the budget without going through any type of process. And I've noticed that even some of them haven't had an application. So, you know, I don't know who decides how they get in there other than the council member who introduced the amendment put something in.
Well, where's WikiLeaks when we need them?
Yeah.
The Clinton Foundation, again, here in Honolulu.
Yeah, well, you know, they tried to put in that, $250,000, I think, for New Hope Church, and they put in $500,000 for Kosong Foundation.
Right.
And so this amendment would, if the council wanted to put those types of projects in, they would have to go through the process.
Okay. Hold on. Caller, thank you. Real quick, go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you, Monsignor Cox, and also St. Aloha. If you want to know if this is political, the charter amendments, just refer to number 12. It is political. Thank both of you very, very much.
Okay, thank you. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comment or question. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead with your comment or question. You there?
Carol?
Yes.
I didn't know if you had someone else on the line.
Yeah, I did. And now we did 12, 13, 14, Natalie.
Okay, so 14 just is, I think this is based on a revised state law, but this would increase the number of days for holding a special election from 60 mm-hmm. to 120 days. And the only testimony that was given was by the city clerk, and they outlined very clearly the time frame as it is now, you know, because the concern is that the military who are overseas and any other eligible voters who are overseas,
mm-hmm.
that they be allowed adequate time to get their ballots. And so,
you know, just based on that, I think this just needs to be a yes. I'm not aware, there was no testimony in opposition. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any reason it shouldn't be.
Okay. And we'll post these up, and like I say, you can also go to the Hawaii Advocates for Consumer Rights.org and get the same thing there. Natalie put together a page of, I will call it a cheat sheet. But 14, should the deadline to hold a special election, we just answered that one. Yeah. 15, should the term limit for prosecuting attorney, the mayor, and the council members be 3 consecutive 4-year terms?
You know, when they first talked about this in the Charter Commission, and they said that it's because the legislators and the executive branch need time to implement and get their projects through, and so they were looking at 12 years, and I was thinking, wait a minute. Are you serious?
I was thinking how much damage they've done in 8 years or 4 years or 6 years.
And, yeah.
And you want 12 more? And by the way, if this were to be go into effect, does the clock then start now they have another 3 consecutive 4-year terms to serve, or do we count in what they've already served?
Right. So for example, the mayor or the chair of the council, who are going to be, if the mayor's elected, would have 2 terms, they would be allowed to go 1 more term. Mm-hmm. It's not like they would start a new clock and have 3 more terms.
Okay. And once, caller, thank you real quick. Your comment, a question?
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I think that 20 amendments for the average voter on this, in this state, to make decisions on to vote yes or no, I think it's just too much. And I think the naivety of the average voter here, and they probably won't even spend the time to understand any of these amendments. In my estimation, I think the only amendment should be on the vote should be 15 mm-hmm. regarding term limits, and that should be a definitely no, or mm-hmm. that particular amendment should not have even been on the ballot, since those who were determining which amendment should be on the ballot is a conflict of interest, because they're the ones that would benefit by
right.
having these extended limits. So that's my answer. And basically, I go along with some of the callers, vote all no for all of it. But your caller, your guest, there's very Akabai, and if I didn't know what to do, I will wait till the end of the show and vote according to what her recommendations are. And for those voters who don't know what to do, I would suggest they do the same.
Okay, well, thank you, Natalie. And I don't want to keep you, but real quick, if we can run through the other 4.
Okay.
And go ahead, and I'll let you without stalling here.
Okay, so question 16 would take minor construction projects out of the Department of Design and Construction and move them into various other departments. And it was mentioned during testimony from the city administration that this would help create efficiencies so that, because the Department of Design and Construction has so many projects, that these small ones are kind of tending to be held up. One thing that I think is important to note is that this isn't necessary to be an amendment, because when the Permitted Interaction Group gave their report, they found out that the administration, the mayor, already has the power to reorganize certain aspects of the city, and one of them is with respect to these construction projects. So he already has the power to do that.
Mm-hmm. And so 17, you're saying, you suggest?
16.
16, you suggest?
No.
Right. 17.
17. So this one would delegate, would allow the mayor to delegate his authority for signing documents, certain documents, and giving that authority to certain, I guess, members of the
cabinet and the managing director.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's reasonable to expect that if the mayor is going to be off-island or absent or otherwise not capable of signing a document, that that authority could be assigned to or delegated to somebody else. But this question does not provide that specificity, that restriction in the amendment itself.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be whenever the mayor feels that it should be delegated.
Right, and not saying the conditions that be an emergency or find ourselves where he's not available due to maybe he's still attending a board meeting at the bank or something.
Yes, that's right.
You know, that would be important, right? Because he couldn't get back to sign the people's business because
right.
he's the mayor, but he's busy at the bank. So I can understand why I would say no, too.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that, but what the heck. Okay, the next one, please.
Number 18 is regarding the fire commission and changing it from 5 to 7 members. It also revises the responsibilities of the fire chief. And so my understanding was that some of these duties that are being put in the charter are already being done by the chief. And so it comes down to, again, you know, what is the cost of implementing this? Anytime we increase a commission or we increase staff or we increase departments, we're looking at added costs. So that was never addressed in any of these amendments.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a valid question here. The other thing that I didn't really put in my write-up is that, you know, we have a lot of boards and commissions and a lot of appointments. And it's already hard enough to find good people to fill all of these boards and commissions. So
mm-hmm.
why would we want to add staff, you know, add commission members when it's already hard to find people?
Mm-hmm. And what takes my interest in this one is that why haven't we heard these discussions and have they given consideration to alternatives or other measures rather than an amendment? Why haven't we heard of the discussion and consideration of other avenues?
Right, and, you know, that's a good question because one thing I did was the reason for adding 2 more people given by, I forget who it was, they said that there was not enough members to meet quorum. And so I looked and I tried to find anything where it would say, well, we had, you know, this meeting was canceled because or the fire commission is having problems meeting quorum. There was nothing.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a very valid question.
Right. And the next one, 19?
19. So this one would, oh, this one is a bad one. this one would, you know, would change the makeup of the reapportionment commission, the commission that is set every 10 years to look at the council districts and reapportion them to, you know, based on changes in the population.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the commission is not allowed to have more than a majority of its members from one political party. And that's there for very, very good reason. And so if this amendment were to pass, then we could potentially have a reapportionment commission that's made up of all Democrats, for example,
mm-hmm.
Which takes away all, you know, balance of our system.
Mm-hmm. And 20?
20 is just a housekeeping thing. It has several items in it, and I think this should pass. I'm not aware of any reason that any of these are shouldn't be passed. But one that I think is particularly important is the first one, which would require books and records of all city departments to be open to public inspection. And that some people were concerned when they initially read that because they were like, well, there's certain documents that shouldn't be available to the public. And that's true, but this amendment does not open up stuff that is already by law not allowed to be released. What this particular question does is just bring the county law in line with the state law, in particular respect to police records.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and is there anything else? I have one caller waiting for, and I don't want to keep you or stall you, but caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
We had a caller earlier who said that he's appalled about the number of charter amendments on one ballot. If anything, we need a law to limit the number of charter amendments that you could put on one ballot. This is crazy to think that there are 20 of them on this one ballot.
Yeah.
We had a month to just, and from the time that the city sent out their paperwork on all of this.
This is
voter.
Right. This is kind of slick on their way. I mean, you want to buy a cow, and then so they said, okay, here's a whole herd. You know,
yeah,
I just wanted
exactly.
one.
I think it's really crazy. I do say, if you're unsure, vote no. Definitely vote no on 15, because that does not only increase the mayor's term, it also increases the prosecutor's term.
Right.
And we all know, well, maybe we all don't know, but I know that, you know, having the prosecutor with that much time and that much power is can't do anything good for our city.
Mm-hmm.
And then having him and the mayor in cahoots with each other, it would just be devastating to know that they could take this much time
right.
in office to make whatever changes they want to make or, you know, do whatever they want to do. So I say vote no on all of them.
Okay.
After Natalie talked about 20, I'm kind of thinking, maybe yes on 20. But if anyone is not sure, just vote no.
Yeah,
and 154
originally. So, we're really a broken city.
Yes.
Carol, okay.
So may I say something about
yes.
that?
Yes, go ahead.
You know, I think people need to understand that that particular amendment would implement term limits for the prosecuting attorney. So that caller, if that's what she's concerned about, then, you know, it would implement the term limit for the prosecuting office. The problem I see with that is that that particular office has a very small pool of people who can fill that position.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even Peter Carlisle said he no longer qualified. He cannot run for prosecutor because he does not qualify. So we have to be really careful about some of these.
Okay.
Alrighty. Yes. Can I comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
That the prosecutor should not have been lumped with the mayor and city council in this one, simply because, as Natalie said, the qualifications for prosecutor are so different than these others.
Mm-hmm.
And so lumping him with these others was, I'm not sure what they intended, but it was wrong. The prosecutor should have term limits, but right now he doesn't. And so the current prosecutor has 16 years in the office.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Caller, thank you for calling. One more question for Natalie.
Yeah, very quickly, is it possible they want 20 so that people will leave it blank? I think everybody must vote. Don't leave it blank. Thanks both of you very much.
All righty. Thank you.
Carol, before I go, I just want to, if I may, say a couple things. You know, 20 is certainly can be overwhelming for a lot of people, but personally, I look at this whole process as our way to change our city government. And so I know there are people who say, well, some of these are so complex that the average voter doesn't understand and it should be left to our political representatives to make those changes. You know, we could argue probably all day about which way to go on that. But that's just my view, that this is our chance to change our government.
Mm-hmm. But I would solicit from the mayor and others, why haven't we had these discussions as we are arriving at this point? Why are we viewed as being so ignorant and naive as taxpayers and as voters that you can't start early on a year and say these are the things that are broken and have table these issues through neighborhood boards and you know, put feelers out there. But instead, a booklet with 20 amendments twiddled down from 154 and with behavior that is not consistent with that of honest people, and they want us to just take these and ingest them and then spit the answers out that they want, obviously.
Right. And, you know, I think that's why it's so important that the commission have adequate resources, because they should have brought all of this stuff out, for, you know, earlier, early on when all these proposals were submitted October 31st, neighborhood boards should have been apprised of them. And then, you know, then the public would have gotten involved a little more throughout the 6 months that they discussed the various proposals that come to these questions.
Well, this is probably not going to set well with many people, but after reading this and reviewing it, our friend Charles Azu is looking like sweet potato pie for me. I'm, and I mean, you know, I've had some bad understandings about Charles, but I think one way is vote no and then vote no for Caldwell for me. I just can't see this. This is enough already. And then what he has done to take the Honolulu Police Department, no matter what you think about policemen and all, but they are the cream of the crop. You may not like it. You may disagree. But you try calling one at 2 in the morning and 3, and nothing's perfect. But he assailed the integrity of the entire agency and has no shame. You see, that's what troubles me about this mayor.
Yeah.
And these are good people. You try strapping on a billy club or just a notepad and stand out on the street corner and say you're going to be the police for a day and see how hard and difficult it is. And if you don't have the support and you have a mayor who has an agenda to screw down the chief of police because he has an agenda that he wants to remove the chief, it impugns the integrity of the entire police department.
Yeah.
And that's, I have to say, enough of Kurt Caldwell already, because it's not that we don't like the way he do business. It's just what he leave for us, the climate. We almost not civilized. We're pointing fingers at the very people we trust to enforce and protect us.
Carol?
Mm-hmm.
You're right about that, but one caller said about 20 being too much.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that in your packet there will be two ballots. Two. One is devoted exclusively to these 20 amendments, so you be sure you vote on both.
Right.
And maybe you don't like the mayor, maybe you don't like the president, but second ballot is all these questions, and you must answer these.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Natalie, thank you. Anything in closing? I don't want to keep you, but you can stay as long as you want.
No, that I do need to go. But
okay.
Yeah, I just encourage everybody to do research, whether you agree with my positions or not. Do some research and find out what is behind each one and then vote accordingly.
What is your email and how can one contact you for future conversations or information? Or?
Well, they can go to What Natalie Thinks.
Mm-hmm.
That's my blog.
What Natalie Thinks.
What Natalie Thinks.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Carol.
All righty. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Carol Cox. What's up?
Marsha, go ahead. There's a guy just infatuated with hearing himself on radio, so, you know, at some point,
okay.
You know, I mean, anybody right. can call and talk, but enough already.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much. Now, how much time do we have left?
Actually, good thing you asked it. Did you know that in 17 days we'll be able to take back America?
Yes, we can.
Can you know that? You know that? No, I don't believe we can, because
well,
I never thought we lost it.
But I didn't think we lost it either.
But we will at this rate.
In
we
the
will.
Little bit of time we have left, someone asked if we could go over.
I am.
From the beginning.
I was going to go over. Those.
I made a list of her yes and no's. If you want to go back.
Yeah, I have them here. I was going to hold on here. She said that question one, right?
Yeah.
For the listener out there, should the police commission have greater authority to suspend or dismiss the chief of police and have additional powers to investigate complaints concerning officer misconduct? And should the chief of police be required to submit a written explanation for his or her disagreement with the commission? And she said what? She suggested yes. To vote yes
yeah.
on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And number two, she also said, Should the Ethics Commission set the salaries of the Ethics Commission's executive director and staff attorneys with specified limits? And she suggested yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number three, I'm having to stumble back through my notes here. Should the Department of the Prosecuting Attorney control its budget after it is approved by the City Council? And
yes.
She said yes. And question number four, the question contains three parts. Natalie is saying, should a unified multimodal transportation system be created by forming a rate commission to annually review and recommend adjustments to bus and paratransit fares, rail fares and parking fees, placing operations and maintenance responsibilities for bus, paratransit, and rail solely in the Department of Transportation Services, and providing for the transfer of position and legal rights and obligations relating to rail operations and maintenance for the Honolulu Authority Rapid Transit, blah, blah. And she said no. She recommended no. And five, should the Affordable Housing Fund be used to develop rental housing for persons earning 60% or less of the median household income, provided that the housing remains affordable for at least 60 years? And she said no.
No.
Mm-hmm. And the next one was six, was it? Should Department of Responsibility responsible for the city's infrastructure needs be required to prepare long-term plans? And she said no, vote no. She's recommending no. And basically, I think that's we got through what she didn't hear the rest. Charter Amendment 7, should the city use its power to serve the people in a sustainable and transparent manner and to promote stewardship of natural resources for present and future generations, and should the city create an Office of Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency?
And she said no.
And she said no. And
We already have all of those things.
Yeah. And there, I had to go back to thinking of that morning where sewage poured out by the hundreds of thousands of gallons at Atkinson Drive into Ala Moana, and the Environmental Services Director stood there and lied to us all and said it was only a small amount compared to what was actually going. Then she revised that, and so I don't think we need charter amendments to address our problems. I think we need people to arrive and attend to our business with integrity and ethics. I think that's what's missing. Amendments not going to really satisfy anything.
Right. Number eight is really, for me, just a slap in the face. You want to read that one?
Should a new Department of Land Management responsible for the protection, development, and management of city lands be established? And then this is what the booklet goes to describe. Present situation. There is no single department responsible for management of real property owned by the city or for real property transactions. Instead, the functions are dispersed among various departments. And if proposal passes, the Department of Land Management would manage real property and negotiate real property transactions on behalf of the city. As part of its responsibilities, this department would identify the public interests served by the real property transactions involving existing city lands and would report to City Council, which would have final approval authority.
Now, don't you know that a department like that, first of all, we already have the state land and natural resources, but a department at the city level,
mm-hmm.
all the architects, developers would be passing their checks right to the city?
Yeah.
Without any oversight?
Well, here's when we stand back and look at all of this, the big picture, here's why I say no. There's so many proposals here suggesting that it's going to cost us and to operate these committees and these commissions and the new agencies or the departments, it's going to cost money. And that money is going to come from the taxpayer. And that taxpayer, many of us senior citizens now, don't have the money. Can't afford much more. The straw that's going to break the camel's back is just being delivered in this, for some of us, in this approach, in this charter, 2016 charter amendment. So that's what my biggest concern is. There are senior citizens and people that have retired thinking that they were set, and now more and more and more taxation. That's what really is problematic. Caller, thank you.
The house that the mayor lives in is taxed at $300.
Tax-free. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Just one question. Advocates for ConsumerRights.org have that. But any future meetings, could you repeat if there are going to be meetings? And very lastly, number six, should departments responsible for the city's infrastructure needs be required to prepare long-term plans? A yes or a no on that one. Thank you very much.
On number six.
Okay. Natalie said no because they are already there.
Okay.
This is already being done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I wish you'd continue with the yes or no answer.
Okay.
We've already discussed all these amendments.
Okay, you just...
In short, we're getting nervous not being able to get all the answers.
Okay.
Hold on, Marsha.
We're going to post this up on carolcox.com, and as I said to you, Hawaii Advocates for Consumer Rights, you can go to their website, .org, HawaiiAdvocatesForConsumerRights.org, and... what Natalie thinks also, the blog, you can go there, and we'll go through real quick. So you were saying nine, Marsha?
Nine is where we stop, about
okay.
The zoo.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Should the Honolulu Zoo Fund be established and funded by a minimum of one-half of 1% of estimated annual real property taxes to pay for Honolulu Zoo expenses mm-hmm. to assist the Honolulu Zoo in regaining its accreditation by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums?
And she said no.
And she recommended no.
Right. And this, number 10, the amendment restores the mayor's power to create special funds and thereby brings back balance between the executive and the legislative branches. She recommended yes. Question 11, she recommended no vote. This amendment, the question is, creates a Clean Water and Natural Lands Advisory Commission on the Department of Budget and Fiscal Services. She suggested no. 12, they have it more synopsized here.
12?
Yeah, I have it. I'm just trying to make it simple. Should the board, all boards and commissions except the Board of Water Supply, the Board of for Honolulu Authority Rapid Transit, and any board or commission mandated by state or federal laws be reviewed periodically to determine whether they should be retained, amended, or appealed? And she suggested no. And again, 13, she suggested yes. 14, and the amendment should increase the number of days on 14, special elections from 60 to 120 days, according to the city clerk. The current 60-day does not allow adequate time for special elections ballot to be sent overseas to voters. So she suggested voting yes on that one. Go ahead with 15 right quick, Marsha, if you
15, want. Should the term limits of the prosecuting attorney, the mayor, and city council be three consecutive four-year terms? She suggested no.
Right. And 16, it's should certain city departments be responsible for their own program planning and small infrastructure design and construction projects, and should the powers, functions, and duties of the Department of Environmental Services be updated and expanded to emphasize resource recovery and include the planning, engineering, design, and construction of all of its projects? And she said?
She said no.
No.
And that this power already exists.
And I agree with that because the solar voltaic panel and building that they got is all to do with this, and it's just sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. And if the mayor hadn't received so many hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations for campaign from the companies over there affiliated with that one particular project, I would be having second thoughts about saying no. But 17, should the mayor have the authority to delegate the signing of documents to certain other city officers? It doesn't say what documents. It doesn't say anything. It just said, should he? And she's suggesting no, and I also concur. 18.
Should the fire commissioner be expanded from 5 to 7 members? Should the fire chief's powers, duties, and functions be updated to reflect current services? Mm-hmm. And she says no. The fire commissioner already has these duties.
Right. So 19, this amendment she talks about, should the requirement be repealed that no more than 5 of the city council reapportionment commission's 9 members be from the same political party?
Absolutely no. You don't repeal that.
And
we don't want a dictatorship any more than we have.
Right. 20. And should the charter be amended for housekeeping amendments to conform to current functions and operations, to conform to legal requirements, to correct inadvertent commissions, and for clarity? I mean, if there's some corrections and dotting the I's and crossing the T's need to be done, then we need to do that. So anyway, folks, that's basically what this is all about. It's you, me, and the voting booth now. And go ahead real quick.
One more thing.
One more real quick.
Again, for anybody that wasn't listening, we need 51% plus 1 on each question, not on the aggregate, but on each question. So it is important that you mark each question. For instance, if his cronies vote all yes on one question and you leave it blank, they win. So you must vote on each question. This is 10 years of your life, not just the president, not just the city, but 10 years of your life.
Okay.
This is the most important thing you're going to do.
Okay, well, thank you, and we'll do this one again before the season, the election time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate it. Okay, guys, I know we say things here that probably don't set well with many of you, but this is our chance to say no to the likes of Kurt Caldwell. And I'm short-sighted and narrow-minded sometimes, but I got this feeling this morning driving in thinking, we got all of this pilikia that is being presented to us, and we got a finger-pointing mayor who points his fingers at the chief of police, and we got a commission, the ethics commission, who's eating out of his hand. We got the police commission who's eating out of his hand, and he's appointing people. And I'm just thinking, okay, let's vote no on much of this, and then not even vote for this mayor. I think that's the critical part. And I was a little nightmarishly afraid of voting for DeJoux, but I'm telling you, after looking at this, I'm thinking not voting for a party member, but voting to stop this train. And I think there's some hope in that. And Charles may bring some silliness to the tables too. And I'm no fan of his, but looking at it from a bigger point, it's time to say goodbye to Kurt Caldwell. Not because we don't like him. We just don't like his policies, his antics, his tricks, and his trickery, and his trade. So we'll see you next week, and take care.
I hear something saying, chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they're saying,
that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down, working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away.
This has been the then Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu. Find out what everyone's talking about.